Well, welcome again to our Carols by Candlelight service. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight amongst friends old and new, we pray that we would hear from you, from your word. Please be gracious to us tonight and reveal yourself to us through your Son, Jesus. And in turn, we pray that this Christmas we would celebrate Jesus as our God, as our Savior, and as our King. Therefore, guide us tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit to know and to celebrate Christ at Christmas. Amen. The negotiations began back in September. They were not for a high-powered deal, nor to mediate peace in a war-torn region. And no, these conversations did not affect the lives of millions. But nonetheless, what started in September was a discussion of high consequence, a discussion which required an expert level of diplomacy. I'm, of course, speaking of the inter-family discussion of where and with whom Christmas would begin and be with this year. Now, if it were up to me, a decision would be made within minutes by autocratic decree. But unfortunately, family tradition holds that a very intricate communications dance must take place, where we decide who will go where for Christmas. And so as a result, a flurry of phone calls and emails and not too subtle hints were communicated this autumn by all the parties involved. And at times, the sheer complexity of the conversation was, in fact, dizzying. But of course, the hoped-for outcome of all this communication was that everyone in the family would have somewhere to go, that everyone would be thought of, that everyone would be with loved ones at Christmas. And my guess is that up and down the country, similar conversations have taken place in the last few months. In fact, there may be a few of you who are here tonight as a result of a similar conversation in your family. And hopefully, these negotiations were worth it. Because at Christmas, we want to connect with one another. That's why we send and receive cards and gifts. It's why we take time off of work and travel. It's why we make the extra effort. Because we hope that the fruit of all of our planning would be that we would connect with the ones who we love at Christmas. And the same thing is true as we think about connecting with God at Christmas. The reason why we come to carol services, why we read from the Bible, why we turn to the account of Jesus' birth year after year, is that we want to connect to God. And the good news of Christmas is that God has made himself known to us. He has communicated with us. And he's made a way for us to connect with him through his Son. And if you'll permit me, I'd like to reflect on our last reading, which comes from the book of Hebrews, and begins with these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The first thing that we can see from this passage is that God has never been silent in his world. Indeed, from the Bible, we know that everything was brought into existence by the power of God's words, that God spoke and the universe came to be. And in the Bible, we have a record of God speaking throughout history. So God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, promising them that one day they would be saved from Satan's schemes. He spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, promising them that he would be their God if they would be his people. He spoke to Moses and he led his people, Israel, out of slavery. And God spoke to Israel's kings and prophets, promising them that one day he would save the world through an eternal and perfect king. And in the New Testament, God sent angels to herald good news, news that God's King, his Messiah, was born. God has been communicating with us throughout history, through a variety of people, through a variety of means, revealing himself to humanity. And in every single one of these instances where God communicated with people in history, His goal was to progressively point us to and prepare us for receiving His promised King, His Son, Jesus Christ. This is why in our reading from Hebrews, we're told that in the past, God has communicated with us in many different ways, but now in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. Everything that God has communicated in the Bible points us to and prepares us to receive Jesus. And this is particularly good news if you are someone who is exploring Christian things. Because it can be intimidating trying to figure out what it is that you believe about God. And it's hard to know where to start, what books to read, what books not to read, what sources to trust, what sources not to trust. And if that describes you, I'd encourage you to start with Jesus, because God has spoken to us through His Son. And so if you want to connect to God, all you have to do is look to Jesus, because God spoke through His Son. And if we return to the middle of verse 2 from our reading from Hebrews, we get a sense of why Jesus is God's final and perfect messenger. Let's read from verse 2 to the middle of verse 3, where it says this: "But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being." Here we see that Jesus, God's Son, is appointed heir of all things and that He participated in the creation of the universe. That means that everything that God made, everything that God does, Jesus also made and did. Because by nature, Jesus is fully God. So in the same way, Prince George will one day inherit his grandmother's crown, because by nature, he is royalty. Jesus is the heir of all things and the creator of the universe, because by nature, he is fully God. In fact, our passage says that Jesus, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory. So in the same way that heat and light radiate from the sun, bringing life-giving warmth and energy to us, allowing us to enjoy the sun and engage with the sun, God's glory radiates from Jesus. And Jesus brings every blessing from God to us, because Jesus is God with us. And notice verse 3 says that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. That means if you want to know what God is like, all you have to do is look to Jesus. I remember when my wife first met my dad. She'd gone to the airport to pick him up, and I wasn't available for the journey for whatever reason. So she had to go pick him up, and she had one of those little signs. You know those little signs you see at the airport? And it said Doug Waller, but she didn't need it. Do you know why? Because as soon as he came off that plane, as soon as he came into the terminal, she goes, "Yep, that's Drew's dad. Because I'm the spitting image of my dad." Well, here it says that Jesus is the spitting image of his dad, that he is the exact representation of God's being. He's identical to God, because Jesus is God. At Christmas, we celebrate the miracle that God entered into our world, that God himself became one of us. And this is good news, because it means that we can have a personal and real relationship with God. And so if you've ever wondered, well, what is God like? Well, the good news is you can look to Jesus and see God, because he is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus has taken all of the guesswork out of figuring out God. And so if you want to connect with God, the good news at Christmas is that we don't have to leap into the unknown, because God has come to us. Jesus entered into our world and he offers a relationship with God in the flesh. But of course, that does mean that if you want to connect with God, you have to come to grips with who Jesus is. He is the one and only God who created us. He is the one and only God who shines truth and light and goodness and glory into the world. Jesus is the final and perfect messenger of God, because he is God. But Jesus is more than just God's messenger. He is also God's message. He is good news to the whole earth. And we are in desperate need of good news. Because while many of us will gather with families and enjoy great blessings this Christmas, there are a number of us who will not be with families, who instead will be alone at Christmas. And here in the British Isles and around the world, there are millions who will experience loss and pain and grief at the same time that many of us enjoy ourselves. And this is because the world that we live in is broken. And we don't have to look very far to see evidence of that brokenness, because the news is full of tragedy every day. I mean, try to find a newspaper that's got all good news. It doesn't exist, does it? We can draw on countless examples of people acting horribly towards one another. And if we're honest and looking inward, every one of us knows the destructive power of anger and gossip or envy and bitterness. In fact, many of us will experience the effects of this broken world we live in when we interact with our families over the next few days. Because even in the most loving of families, we can still be selfish towards one another. We can still sin against one another. And that is the word that the Bible uses to describe this condition of brokenness in the world: sin. Sin is when we willingly disobey God and when we reject His rule in our lives. And the consequences of rebelling against God are all the evils that we see in the world today. And ultimately, death. Because the punishment for sin is death. But there is good news. The good news is that God did not abandon the world or us, but rather He entered into the world to save us. Jesus came into the world not just to communicate good news, but to be good news. He came on a rescue mission. And the writer of Hebrews describes just how Jesus rescues us in verse 3. In verse 3, it says that Jesus sustains all things by His powerful word. See, God could have wiped us out because of our sin, and He would have been just in doing so, because He's absolutely pure and perfect and cannot tolerate rebellion. But instead, in His mercy, He has sustained the world through His Son. And in verse 3, we're told that Jesus not only sustains us, but He also provides purification for our sins. That is, that He washes our sins away. He did this at the cross. Because at the cross, Jesus took our sins, and by dying in our place, He died the death that we deserved. He paid the price for sin. At the cross, a miraculous swap took place. It's the best deal in the whole world, wherein Jesus took upon Himself our sin, and He gave us His perfect record, purifying us. So that when God looks at us, we are counted as pure and holy based on Jesus' life, not our own. And finally, in verse 3, we're told that Jesus sits at the right hand of majesty in heaven. And this is good news for a broken world. Because despite all the evils that do still exist in the world, we have hope because Jesus is alive and reigning in heaven right now, and He will return one day to right all wrongs. And this is why at Christmas we not only look backwards to Jesus' first coming as a baby, we also look forward in hope to His second coming as that long-promised, perfect, eternal Savior and King. As we close, I hope that you will be filled with joy and blessing this Christmas, that you'll spend time with friends and family, that you'll eat more than you should. But most importantly, this Christmas, can I encourage you to connect with and to enjoy God? The good news is that this doesn't require lengthy negotiations with God. We don't have to prove our worth, and we don't have to wade through endless books to find the answers to the questions we have. We don't have to search for God, because He came and He found us. He communicates with us. He has spoken through His Son. At Christmas, we celebrate the miracle that God came into our world some 2,000 years ago in the city of David in Bethlehem. God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully God and who died to purify us from our sins, and who reigns in heaven now and invites us to receive him as our King. So this Christmas, if you want to know more of God, if you want to connect with God, look to Jesus, his Son. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, that you speak through him and that he perfectly and completely represents you. And we thank you that he has come bringing us good news, that you are merciful and forgiving, that you are willing to wash away all of our sin. And so this Christmas, as we anticipate time with family and friends, time of celebration, may we also prepare our hearts to receive Christ as our King, to worship and obey him, now and forevermore. Amen.